Okay, let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. And let's start reading. Father, we thank you for opening our eyes. Give us understanding. Show us the word and the times that we're in. Give us peace. And we thank you, Father, we're sealed. We are yours. We thank you, Father, that you have known the end from the beginning. And you let us know what we're supposed to see now. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. But there were, in verse 1, false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, now you know what that means. Privily, that means hidden, in secret, shall they bring in damnable, which is destructive teachings. So they're not just going to come out with these teachings, they're going to bring it in secretly. It's important because what we're going to talk about is secrets. God doesn't do anything in secret. But whenever you sin, think of your life. What'd you do? You did in secret, didn't you? So your mom wouldn't find out. Everybody sins in the dark. Well, that's as old as the devil, sinning in the dark. But in God, I'm trying to lighten you guys up. Just everyone looks so sad. Jesus said he doesn't do anything in the dark. He does everything in the light. He is the light, okay? But the devil, he likes to do things in secret. That's important for what we're studying. But he's going to bring in these bad teachings secretly, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, how many? Many, not just a few. Many shall follow their pernicious or their harmful ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. Are we starting to see that? The way of truth is being spoken evil of. The good is evil and evil is good. And through covetousness shall they with feigned, not real, words make merchandise of you. In other words, they're trying to bring out the fleshly desires in you, the Laodicean church, which is the church of the materialistic. Well, we've seen that since the 90s, right? Make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not. Someone asked me, well, where's God? God's withholding his judgment. But guess what? Judgment is coming. But if you're saved, this is the day you better get saved and you better stay in, right? Get away from the darkness. Because judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels, this should put the fear of God in you right here. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivereth them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, that hit me today, the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. In other words, he's shown us things, and that was an example, so we don't want that, do we? We want to learn from them. And he delivered just Lot. And this is the part I want to get to. He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Amen. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And let's stop right there. But the point I wanted you to see is that God delivered Lot, but he was vexed. Who was Lot, first of all? Lot was Abraham's nephew. And where did he live? He lived in Sodom. And he was vexed. And I'm saying that because I know a lot of you are going to be vexed. We're vexed for what we see. And just think, they didn't even have TV. They were vexed by what they heard in the streets and what they saw. That word vexed there means trouble, upset, irritated, frustrated, grieved. What does grieved mean? Mental suffering. They were tormented by what they saw. They were tormented by the lawlessness. They were tormented because they lived in Sodom and they saw what was going on. And another one that was vexed was Ezekiel. We're going to look at Ezekiel for a minute. But Ezekiel, what was he grieved by? Well, he was grieved by a lot of things, but he was grieved by what God showed him about the preachers. The preachers of Judah, the leaders of Judah. He was grieved because they pretended they were one thing, but in private, in secret, they were doing other things. Because they don't know that God sees everything. They actually thought God had forsaken the earth and they had to find other gods. And what happened is they started serving the pagan gods. Like other nations, they were warned not to serve those pagan gods because they can't do nothing. Just think, these gods that can't do a thing, and they reject the living God for these false gods. So here's Lot, very vexed and grieved about what he was going through, what the people around him were saying and doing and living. And Ezekiel, he was also grieved. And over in, where is this here? In Isaiah, his watchmen are blind. This is one of my favorite scriptures. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yeah, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. Wow. This was his warning to the pulpits of Israel, but what about the pulpits of America? Greedy dogs. Now, dogs that cannot bark don't warn. My sister had somebody steal some things from her years ago, and she had a dog that didn't even bark. Dogs that can't bark are not good watchdogs. They're not good. And how many preachers now are not barking? They don't want to bark. They don't want to stir up anything. They don't want to warn. But I want to tell you, warning is loving. Yes. Warning is loving. And God always warns us. Will we listen to his warnings? Well, warnings aren't fun, but it's love. You know that song, Who Let the Dogs Out? Well, nobody let the dogs out because none of them barked. They were all trained to be quiet. That's the way it is today. In seminaries and stuff, they're taught just brotherly love. Just don't get anyone offended. So they're blind. They can't see. They're all ignorant. They're dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, laying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They can't warn. They can't bark. They can't rebuke. They're blind to what is coming. They can't see. This is found in Isaiah 56, verse 10 and verse 11. They all took to their own way, every one for his gain, from his quarter. Come, and they say, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. I went to a meeting once, I think it was probably 15 years ago now, and during our lunch break of this seminar, all the preachers, they all got drunk at lunch. I was the only one that didn't drink. I couldn't believe it. And then they got up and preached afterwards. I mean, I have seen this, literally. Come, fetch the wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. Tomorrow shall be as today and much more abundant. If you go and listen to sermons today, you don't hear barking. You don't hear warning. You don't hear people get right with God. You don't hear that. You hear, your best life is going to be tomorrow and today. The same kind of a thing. And much more abundant. Just get those dreams out there. Whatever you want, just decree and declare it. A dog that barks at nothing is a dumb dog. He's mute. He's quiet. And so is a watchman that doesn't warn. To bark means to warn. Preachers are the guard dogs of the flock, and the wolf is coming. And nobody's telling you the wolf is coming. The beast is rising, It's not just going to appear overnight. It's rising. The signs, the symptoms are all there. And our preachers should be telling us what the signs are to get ready, get your houses in order, right? Churches have always been, for some people, secret places. It's been a cover. Churches have been fronts. I guess that's the word I was looking for. The enemy's always tried to work in secret in different places. It's not new, so we shouldn't be shocked, but we still are. I remember a year ago I said, prepare for scandals. I had no idea how many scandals were coming out, but the enemy wants to destroy your faith in preachers. And that's why we don't look to man, we look to God, because men fall, men fail. And then I believe there's a game within the game with that. I think there's, we'll get into that. You can't get your eyes on religion. You got to keep your eyes on your relationship with Jesus. So here, let's look at it. Then, verse 5, he said unto me, he's talking about Elijah. He's one that was vexed. Remember, he saw things that were coming. Just like Lot was vexed. Just like you are vexed. Then he said unto me, son of man, lift up thine eyes, now the way towards the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way towards the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy was in the entry. Whoa, what would make God jealous? Any other gods? So here we see, right in the entrance, is a false god. He said, furthermore, unto the son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth, where? Here, in their temples, in Jerusalem, in places where it's supposed to be dedicated and separated unto God. And he says, now I'm going to show you abominations, but after this one comes another one and another one. They get greater. In verse 7, and he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And then he said unto me, son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had dug in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. This is a verse I want you to see. They had symbolism on the walls. Creeping things. When we're Christians, there shouldn't be anything we have to do in the dark. If we're doing things in secret, we need to repent. We should be who we are. We shouldn't have secret lives that God has to tell us that he's going to rebuke us for. We come to the light. He's the Father of light. Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. How dumb can you get and still breathe? You don't think God sees you? The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. So because God's not doing anything right now, they think they have to rile up and get their own gods so that they can control these gods and that these gods are going to do something for them. God's watching. He's watching. He's watching what we're doing. Right? He's patient. The Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. What can be worse than this? They've got their symbolism, and we're going to talk a little bit about symbolism, because the occult and the witchcraft and all these different secret societies, they all have their own symbols. And because I learned this 5 years ago, it saved me, because I would see certain things and I would know, you know who people are. Now there's some things, there's hand signals that I probably make a bunch of weird ones and don't know it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about deliberate, on purpose. Okay, they tell you who they are. And then this, through their symbolism, they also let other people know who they are through their handshakes, through the different things. And if you don't believe it, I'm sorry, that's on you, because God wants to protect you. But if you won't listen, if you won't let me bark, woof, woof. I'm trying to lighten you up a little bit. Okay? God doesn't want us deceived, and he wants us prepared. He wants us to know who the enemy is, and he wants us to know who we can be safe with. He doesn't want us to be deceived in these end times. He didn't want Ezekiel to be deceived. He wanted him to know what was going on. So he said there are going to be greater abominations than that. Here we're going into another one here. And what are they doing? Verse 14, the women. This affected the women. And they were weeping for Tammuz. Did I say it right? Tammuz or Tammuz? Tammuz. These names, I know, I slaughter them. Why were they weeping? Well, this was one of their gods that they believed in. And they also believed that he was the god of the crops, the agriculture. And he'd go away when it got hot, and they would mourn his death, and then he would resurrect again. This was totally a mockery of Jesus Christ. This was a mockery, and they were weeping for this guy. Then said he unto me, in other words, if you're not walking with the Lord, they'll make substitutes for God. People make substitutes. They're worshiping something. You can serve the Lord, you can serve the devil, but you got to serve somebody, right? Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than this. Whoa. And then we see the 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. Now this is a big thing. It's not just then, but it's also now. And because I know what symbolism is, this is probably one of the big ones, is they turned their back toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they worship the sun. Here's the sun god. And I found a lot of things about a lot of preachers with the emblems of the sun god on it. Once you know, and I want to announce this book again, I like this book because it doesn't go deep and heavy into stuff. You don't need to go into all this stuff, but you do need to know some symbols. And when you know the symbols, you know who the people are because they tell you who they are, right? And they were doing this back in Ezekiel's day. Now, you remember, the beast is rising. It's not just going to show up. He's been showing up. Even in the Bible was written, it talks about the Antichrist spirits, right? So it's not new. And we're not going to get rid of it. We're in the world. And the more I've studied symbolism, it's like, wow, there's a whole lot of symbolism that's taken over the world. But we still live here. And God's still with us, right? So we don't want to get freaked out about it. But God hates the lies and the wickedness of these pagan gods. These sun gods of Baal, weeping for Tammuz or whatever, the god of fertility. They would mourn his death. And then they'd say he resurrected again. They'd just be excited again. They gave all the glory to different gods. This has always been the problem. Judgment and mercy. The Old Testament. Judgment and mercy. Judgment and mercy. Thank God for the New Testament. Jesus has taken on the curse for us, right? You've got to accept Jesus Christ. He's paid our price. Thank God for a New Testament. But still, the Old Testament's there for a reason. Some people just don't want to read it. There's things that we need to learn in there. That's why it's there. So this vision reveals paganism had crept in and affected the women of Israel. You know when the women are affected, it's bad. And again, that John 18:20, Jesus doesn't do anything in secret. The religious leaders were trying to get to him, and he always says, I do nothing in secret. These societies do everything in secret. Secret wickedness in the church. Secret wickedness in the government and in the world. Can you see it? Are you vexed? Psalms 2, the kings of the earth are what? Gathering together against the Lord and against his anointed. Some people don't believe the devil's still around. He is. He's got a mission. But as children of the light, we're supposed to see what he's doing. We're going to get vexed in this world. But we also have to know God's with us. He's never going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. And I have some encouraging news at the end here. Unbelief that the true one God has forsaken them. So they have to look to other gods. And this has been the problem, especially in the Old Testament. They would always look for somebody else to save them. They wanted a God they could see. They wanted a God they could tell what to do. They wanted a God that they could control. We can't control him. As much as the word of faith people try to confess and declare and decree and your words have, you can't control them. The thing is, men were worshiping the sun towards the east, still doing it today. They had their backs towards the true God. Worshiping towards the east, the sun God. They turned from the Father of lights to a little light. Ultimately, that's what it is. In Acts 14, let's look. Now, this is when Paul had done a miracle. Verse up there, the cripple started walking and leaping. In verse 11, when the people saw what Paul had done, they always want to look to a man instead of the man that they serve. And some people like that. They like to be worshipped, but not Paul. When you're serving the real and true and living God, you don't want to be worshipped. You know, no flesh shall glory in his presence. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, whatever, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. He's a god. He's a god. And they called all these people. He was a chief speaker. Verse 13. Then the priests, which was before their city, brought oxen and what else? Garlands. Here's that funny little thing again. They worship with the garlands. I thought that was quite a little find. Unto the gates. And what, isn't that something? The gates of hell is actually what's going on with a lot of these gate things that are going on. Unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. We want to worship him. And we're bringing our oxen. We're bringing our garland. What did they do? They started rending their clothes, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities. Turn from this symbolism. Turn from this false stuff unto the true and living God. They didn't put up with it. They didn't want to be worshipped. They wanted to give God all the glory. One of the things that I liked in Ezekiel 9, this is one of my favorites, the inkhorn vision. Ezekiel 9, so there was destruction coming. But God had his hand, and he marked the people that were vexed, that were sighing and crying, like Lot and all the other people that were of the Lord, that couldn't stand what was going around. So if you're grieved and if you're vexed, you're in a good crowd, right? So in here in Ezekiel 9, one of the spirit beings who was in charge over the city carried not a battle axe like his fellows, because they were destroying everything, but a writer's inkhorn in verse 2. And he was dressed differently in linen. His is a different purpose. God charges him to go ahead of his fellows, saying in verse 4, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark. The devil copies everything, doesn't he? How many know there's a mark of the beast? Well, God's got a mark. And he said, mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. Wow. The others follow him, obeying God's command to go through the city, killing and not having pity. But in verse 6, God warns, but do not come near anyone of whom is the mark. And he said, and begin in my sanctuary. So even though there's bad things happening in sanctuaries and temples, there's good people in there. There's good people in there, and God knows who they are. And he said to mark them. He said, no destruction's going to come to them because they're sighing, and they're grieved over what's happening. They're grieved over the evil. They're grieved over the abominations. Isn't that good? They had God's mark on them, protecting them from his judgment. Now, that was the Old Testament. Now we have a better testament, right? So if he protected them in the old, hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The Bible condemned Baal worship. In Jeremiah 32:35, They built the high places of Baal or Baal, whatever you want to call them, and caused the sons and their daughters to pass through the fire of Molech, which I commanded them not to do. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Jeremiah 19:5. This is all in there, folks. We've been taught that it's just all about roses and fun and everything's just good. Come to church and just hear. We need to know what the abominations are so we don't fall into them. We need to know we're not a part of that. The Bible says come out from amongst them. Well, if you don't know what they are, how can you come out? Come out from amongst them and don't be a partaker of their deeds because judgment is coming on them. But God doesn't want his people to be a part of that. He doesn't want you to be deceived. Great deception's coming in the end times, but it doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. We've been deceived. We've come out of some of these movements. And when you come out of them, you can see what's going on, not just in the religion, but in politics, in the medical field. You can see all of it because God wants you to see and not be afraid, but be a light. And then when you see stuff, what are you going to do? You're going to be vexed. And you go through a grieving process because you know you're being lied to. You know they're lying to you. Just shut that TV off because they're lying to you, right? Well, the Bible tells us we're vexed. We're going to be like Lot in these end times. But be encouraged. You're with a good group. You're with the bride of Christ, right? You're with the bride of Christ. And he's grieved too. But they don't think he sees. How dumb can you get? Still, God sees everything. Just because he's not bringing judgment right now doesn't mean it's not in the works and it's happening. But for his people, hallelujah, if you're marked, you're his, right? God knows those that are his. Father, we thank you. These things are happening. They happened in Ezekiel's day. They happened in Lot's day. And there's many that are vexed right now that are listening to this YouTube. They're vexed by what their kids are doing. They're vexed by people serving the devil. People that they thought were going to serve the Lord are turning, going into the things of the world. Father, we thank you that they'll be of good cheer. There's some things we can't do, but there's one thing we can do, and that's we can serve you, Lord, and be a light and do what everything you've asked us to do in this hour we want to do. And I pray for those that are weary in well-doing. This is a weary day for things that are happening in the world. Everything seems to be coming against the Christian. But that's when our light should shine the brightest. Because we know our hope, we know our future is with you. And we just give you all the praise and glory. Help us not be deceived by the magicians, by the merchants of the earth, and all the things they're trying to do to deceive people in this hour. Father, we thank you that we have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we give you all the praise and glory. Everyone said?
Amen. If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the Messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.